Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio not inside Renaissance Bank. I messed up there. I'm used to saying inside Renaissance Bank, but we've been virtual now for a couple of weeks because of shelter-in-place directives, and that's going well, and we're doing what we always do, which is get the word out on business in our community, and we continue to do that with the help of Renaissance Bank. And Renaissance Bank is doing their part to help business because they're very active with the PPP and EIDL programs. If you don't know about that, you need to contact your Renaissance banker because that's some important programs that have been released as part of the recent CARES Act with the SBA. So be in touch there. RenaissanceBank.com is the website. Their bank branches are open, but you have to call and make an appointment if you want to go inside. Otherwise, you can go through the drive-thru. So call your Renaissance banker or go to renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Jody Daniels. Jody is with Red Clover Advisors. Jody, welcome.
Hi.
Yeah, great to have you here. Yeah, tell folks a little bit about you and what you do at Red Clover Advisors.
Sure. So I am what's called a Certified Information Privacy Professional, a CIP. So I am a privacy consultant. It's a full disclosure, not an attorney. And I help companies comply with privacy laws, very focused on helping with GDPR, the EU privacy law, the new California privacy law called the California Consumer Privacy Act. It's like a babyish version kind of GDPR, went into effect in 2020. And then the myriad of other privacy laws that exist. So we're really the operational arm to helping companies figure out what they need to do to comply with these things. And we also serve as a fractional privacy officer for a lot of small and medium sized companies.
That's awesome work. And Jody, was in a Decision Vision episode. Decision Vision's a podcast we produce here at Business Radio X with Mike Blake and Brady Ware. Folks, I'd refer you to that. It's episode 57. We published a couple of weeks ago. We'll put it in the show notes there for you to find easily. But it's a great episode about a show about securing data for work-at-home employees, which is a really important topic right now. What we're going to talk about today, though, is something very specific, and it involves Zoom and the question of video conferencing and how to keep your video conference secure. And it's a big problem right now for a lot of people because that platform has grown so rapidly. Right, Jody?
It has. Pretty much poof overnight.
Right. So you've got a lot of folks that have gotten on. Zoom's become a verb, actually. That's probably one way to judge that, right? Zoom has become a verb. And a lot of people have gotten on this platform in the last few weeks without a lot of familiarity with it. And that's part of the problem, right?
It is. And, you know, at the same time, it's one of the things that is actually really great about the platform. It's really easy to use. You mm-hmm. don't, it's like the grandma test. They click a link, poof, you're on. You don't have to do too many steps. And, you know, one of the things that Zoom did was they offered it for free K-12. So you have all the schools who are using it. You also have a lot of people. So I'm a parent to young kids. There's a fair amount of people who have activities. They've joined it. And then there's always been a free 40-minute version. So anyone who just wants a 40-minute conference call can go and sign up for the free version.
Right.
So a lot of businesses who were looking to save money signed up for that version. And then a variety of other people signed up for the paid version, literally around the globe. Poof, overnight.
Sure. And you've got a lot of folks that are getting on this platform that, because it's free, because it's easy, a lot of faith communities, you mentioned schools. I mean, not folks that maybe are security is not at the top of their mind exactly when it comes to stuff like this, right? As opposed to a lot of businesses.
Well, right. And I think a lot of people just assume that it's the company already figured that out.
Right. Right.
It's here. It must be okay for me to use. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the youth people are using it, so it must be okay for me to use. Mm. And then it just is a cascading effect. So people tend not to think about that until it's in the news. And here we are.
Sure. Now, before we got on, we were talking about your choice, which I think is kind of relevant because you know this stuff. You're an expert in security and you've been a Zoom user for some time. Talk about why Zoom for you.
Absolutely. So when I started my business, just over 2.5 years ago, I paid for the Zoom Pro version. So I've been a Zoom user now for quite a while. And when I was looking at the different options, I liked the user friendliness of Zoom. I've kind of always had it set up with some of the required features, like having a meeting password. And there's some default settings of what you can have people join as. And so as a daily user, you know, I've picked some of those more secure settings. But I really like it because, you know, I feel like it's user friendly. So anyone on the other side is able to use it pretty quickly and know what it is that they need to be doing. And I just feel like out of all the other options out there, it's also the one that's the most stable. Many of the others never seem to work right. So when you kind of add in practicality, you know, if you set up with the features correctly, then it was a pretty decent option.
And let's state very clearly that you don't obviously don't work for Zoom. You don't get paid.
Right. Don't get paid for Zoom.
Let's get that out there for folks because they're always looking for that, and I understand. But that's in play here. You're not a part of that. But I think part of the thing we were talking about earlier is there are other options. They're not bad options. But all of those options have security issues.
Yeah, I mean, everything, it's very hard to find anything that's perfectly secure. Now, there are certainly, you know, when you look at a variety of different software tools, some are going to be blatantly not secure. Others are going to be very, very secure. And then you probably have a huge group kind of somewhere in the middle. And, you know, Zoom has admitted, anyone listening might have been able to read any of the myriad of articles, that Zoom has some issues. It's definitely not on the perfect security side. And what I'm proud of is that they're announcing what they are. They're not hiding. They're not pretending. They're being open and honest and working towards the solutions. And I find honesty and transparency, which is honestly what privacy is all about. So if you have a company that has a privacy and security issue, that they're going to be open and transparent about it. And some of the articles are highlighting what they didn't do perhaps in the past. And they've definitely taken ownership, I think, now and have a plan to move forward. And they've already implemented some of them now that we can talk about.
Yeah, that's a really great point you make about the value of transparency when you're entrusting your security with someone. That's a really great point. That really applies to a lot of different aspects of our lives, both business and personal, right?
It does. You know, whenever you're doing business with someone or engaging in a conversation with someone, you're going to share, you're trusting that person. I trust you're not going to share this information, or I trust that you're going to tell me something useful back, or I trust you're going to actually do the product or service you've offered me. And in the privacy world, it's all about making sure that I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. And we've seen lots of companies hide what they're doing. And from a security standpoint, it's, I trust you're going to protect that data. So there's two sides to the privacy security coin. And, you know, Zoom didn't secure it all the way everyone felt like it was supposed to. They've admitted that. And now they've disclosed what their plan is for moving forward. And, you know, I see a lot of privacy and security professionals, and you're going to have people who completely think it's terrible. And you're going to have other people who think that the service that they've done to try and connect people around the world and continue to allow learning and education and business is laudable, and that they're working to make sure that they can sustain the promise that they created.
And just to, for, I guess, context here, I note that at the end of what I read was at the end of 2019. So that seems like years ago, but that's only 4 months ago. Zoom had 10 million users per day. And now that number is 200 million users per day.
And yeah, I mean, it's think about the millions of children and the millions of businesses that are on Zoom.
Yeah.
If a business in my world right now, if a business wasn't already using something else, which would might have been a Microsoft Teams, a Google Hangouts, a few WebExers are still left for conferencing. Mm-hmm. They're using Zoom.
Mm. Right. Okay. Well, let's get into it. So someone's on Zoom. They're not sure if they're using it securely. What suggestions do you make to them as to how they secure their account and their meetings?
So if they're the meeting owner, the very first thing, and we talked about this mm-hmm. also on the Decision Vision podcast, is having a strong password. At least make it hard. Now, I think a lot of the Zoom issues aren't necessarily someone's breaking into the Zoom account, more the Zoom meeting. However, start at the top. Have a strong password to make sure that you're really the only one who can use that Zoom account. When you're in the Zoom account, there's all kinds of settings. And it's my understanding that just in the last couple of days, they've made it a default that there's a password required for the meeting. And I really recommend that there always be a password for the meeting. The next couple settings, I think, in my honest opinion, depend on how many people you're going to have in the meeting. If this is going to be a very small meeting, a handful of people, and you can tell the boxes in the people and the phone numbers, then you don't necessarily have to default to the you're the host only and no one else can share, because you can easily see what's happening. However, if you want to go with the most conservative approach, you can make yourself basically be host only and you're the only one who can share content. And so what that allows is that no one else can flip their screen. All I can ever see, I mean, I guess I can see whatever you have on the video, but you can even default there who can show their video and is it default video on or default video off. And so you could always go with default video off and then start to see the people that are here, make sure you recognize all of them and be able to flip that on. And if you needed to grant access to a particular person to be able to share their screen, then you can share the screen. Some of the other ones are people are sharing the meeting ID like you would share your social media handle. It's not public. And if you think about even in a large group setting, share the Zoom link with the people that you really want to make sure that they're there, or better yet, have them sign up. So let's say you have a huge group of people that you want to participate. It would be better to send something where there's a calendar invite and the Zoom is attached to it. Many, 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 many programs integrate with this. Calendly, a local company here in Atlanta, does calendar invites. You can link Zoom to the calendar. You can create an event page and someone signs up. The reason for doing that is a bad actor's, that's another step. That's annoying. If I'm a bad actor, I want the path of least resistance. It's like the burglar. You have the alarm sign, no alarm sign. I might still go to the alarm house, but I'm not going to start there. I'm going to go to the easy one first.
Right.
And it's the same here. Make it harder for them. So if you have this extra step, the people who really want your content are going to click the link and sign up and register just like they would for any other event you're going to have. And when you do that, you're able to send just the link. But a lot of people have been sharing a meeting ID like a poster board. Or a billboard, and
right.
you don't want to do that. That's private. That's like the key to your, seminar.
Yeah, sure. And part of the issue, is it not, that some business owners, some, schools, faith communities, what have you, they use one account with one meeting ID, share that across multiple hosts, right? That are doing different meetings.
They could, except you can't actually have one meeting ID for multiple meetings. So you'd have to have, you could have one account, but right. You have to keep creating a different meeting because you have to have you and I have to have one meeting ID, and mm-hmm. Sally and Fred over here have to have a different meeting ID. Right. So it can be that it's definitely one account, but even for each meeting ID, you can still set up a separate invite. And even when every time you set up a new meeting, you can also make those changes.
Got it. And again, this can be set as a default so that you're using a different meeting ID every time you set up a meeting. So it avoids the whole problem of using the same meeting ID.
Absolutely. You should not use the same meeting ID. And let me clarify. It's actually a great point. There's something called a personal ID and a meeting ID. Mm. So I think what some people are sharing is kind of the personal ID, and then they didn't have any of the passwords or anything associated with it. Mm-hmm. What you really want to do is create a meeting for each kind of activity you're doing. And so like when I go into my Zoom account, you can see I have however many meetings I have every day, and they're all distinct and separate. The other reason you want to do that is, let's say you have back-to-back. You don't want the people in the first one you don't want the early birds from the second meeting mm-hmm. to join the first meeting. Mm-hmm. I had that happen to me just last week, and it wasn't Zoom, actually. It was a big corporation that had the same conference call number, and that used to happen all the time. People would have a conference call and your personal conference ID. You'd have back-to-back meetings, and the early birds would always join the end of the other meeting.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So yeah. Now we have the ability to generate all these new meeting IDs. Mm-hmm. So actually that is a privacy and security feature to mm-hmm. be able to have a separate one for each one. So don't just have the same one for everyone mm-hmm. because now you also are crisscrossing.
Right. Right.
Yep. And again, you can have sort of default for the whole account. Mm-hmm. And then you can also have each meeting ID so you can change it. So like if you want no video for everybody, and again, I believe now passwords are required. But some of these others, like if you don't want to share your screen and make it default off in the meeting, you can change that. The meeting organizer always has all kinds of controls to flip mm-hmm. it. But it's if you have a lot of people, those would be more security. The best security would be to have those as default off.
Sure. So other secure settings that you recommend that are not that you have to elect yourself. Are there any we've missed?
I think those are the key ones mm-hmm. for sure. It's around, you know, some people don't want video, so you might not always even need to have video screen. I know that sounds kind of funny. We're talking, you might just need to be the teacher and sharing. You might not necessarily need to have everybody else with all the boxes. So I think it's important to think about what is the goal of your meeting? Mm-hmm. Are you basically the presenter? And if we all were sitting in person, we would just be listening and ignoring everybody else around us except a coffee break.
Right.
Or do we all need to interact and engage with each other? Because there's also some, when it talks about, you know, audio on, audio off, that's another one where you can default people on or off. And, you know, what we were talking about is I think people are also using the conference system when they have a huge number of attendees. Mm. That's really a little bit more like a webinar.
Yep.
Like a lot of people have taken kind of what might have been an event and used the conference system.
Right.
But instead, maybe they should be using the webinar version.
Okay. Unpack that a bit on what you mean by that for folks that aren't familiar with what that feature would be.
Yep. So, and it is a little bit of a different Zoom product, but if I was hosting a webinar and I wanted people, so I'm not going to call on people in the audience. This isn't going to be interactive. It's going to be a little bit more lecture style. I'm communicating on whatever topic. And I invite a variety of people, and I'm probably sharing slides or something like that. Maybe my face every now and again. I can pick a webinar, and there's really no ability. The default settings for that is all off. No one can speak. There is no video, and it's pretty much the Jody show. So the likelihood of any type of Zoom bombers is going to be a lot smaller. There's a chat room, but even in the chat room, you can also have some settings to be able to manage that. So if you have a couple hundred people, 500 people, you might want to consider that product. And at the same time, it might even be a little bit more stable for you. And you can do some kind of fun things in the webinar. If you're a bit of a smaller group or it needs to be interactive, then you probably want to maintain in sort of the traditional conference product. Mm-hmm. And in there, you want to make sure that you're doing what we're talking about here, right? Default with the video off, default with the audio off, where you, the host, have control to be able to say, oh, John should get to speak now, or Sally should get to speak now, or Timmy should get to speak now, and those types of things. With those defaults and having the meeting password and not publicizing it, you're going to have a much more controllable and safe environment.
And sometimes what I sense is maybe going on is that folks that aren't used to this tool, aren't used to all the options that are available to it, they're trying to both present and run a meeting and manage the folks in the meeting, right? And so there are options to invite in alternate hosts that can help you in terms of managing access during the meetings and that kind of thing, right?
Yes, yes. You can have others onto your account who can also have those administrative privileges. And actually, one other feature is that there's sort of a waiting room. So I'm sure many people here have joined a webinar and it says, you know, waiting for the host to join. And then you have to, or another time where it says, you know, waiting for John to let you in.
Right.
Same idea. You can default a waiting room and then the host can say, yeah, John can come and Sally can come, but sorry, Fred, you can't come. Right. You can, or strange phone number. I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. You can't come. So you're able to let people in. That works really well in a smaller environment where, again, it's a manageable size. If you start getting into a really sizable group, you're definitely going to want to take advantage of what you just recommended, where you have somebody else also helping manage that for you. Or you kind of have them all in the waiting room, do a quick scan, feel like you're okay, and still kind of keep them with audio off, screen sharing off, and those types of things. What I like about Zoom is I feel like finding those features is intuitive. It makes sense where they are. There's not so many different features buried in 4,000 different places. Mm. You know, it's like in Microsoft Office, you know, someone will tell you about a feature that's been there for 10 years and you had no idea because it was buried in, you know, five layers of deep. You would have no idea. Oh, look at that. Who knew?
Right.
Zoom's just not that complicated.
Yeah.
But it does have some nice features in it.
Folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Jody Daniels, and she is a security expert with her own firm, Red Clover Advisors. Jody, is there a pre-registration feature with Zoom that folks have to pre-register? You mentioned the waiting room, but is there a pre-registration feature? Or have they gotten that far? Well, what I mean is that folks have to pre-register in order for their credentials to be accepted and to get in the call.
No.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
No, you could just, like today, we're using a Zoom link. So you sent me the Zoom link and I just click.
Right. Maybe I need help with my security features. That's no, why.
There's not a pre-registration feature, but that's where I feel like, especially for the groups that have a sizable audience, mm-hmm. that you might want to have it be a registration. And there's Eventbrite, there's Calendly. There's so many calendar tools that are out there.
Right.
Where sign up here and I'll send you the email. Because again, it's at least just one more step to try and block the bad actors where I have to register, then you're going to send me the link as opposed to sending the link in a mass newsletter to 1,000 people.
Right. Right.
I know my marketing friends might not like that because now I've potentially added a step in, but from a privacy and security feature, it's a helpful thing I think to do, or at least just make sure it's being shared in a more secure environment.
Now, one aspect of Zoom that, once folks get in and even if they're cleared and they're legitimate, they need to know a little bit about what happens with that chat, right? Because there are ways to chat with each other on a call, on a Zoom video call, and for that to be done privately. But I understand you can actually that conversation is actually discoverable later. Correct. I mean, that's what I've read, that people, that the administrator can download the entire chat history.
Yes. Yeah, so almost any tool that has a chat should be known to be almost anything online, period. Downloadable, screenshotable, shareable, not exactly private.
Right.
In some form or fashion. So the chat piece, you can, first, people should realize I can share with just the own, you know, host or mm-hmm. with direct people. So if you had a message for just the host, make sure you didn't just send it to everyone, you know, and vice versa. Or if you're trying to complain about the host, but send it to your friend, make sure you really sent it to your friend and not to the host.
Right. Right.
Right. Some basics. So there's that, but that information, you can download it. And, you know, there are some concerns about the overall encryption. Zoom is not end-to-end encrypted today. They have announced that they are working, they'll bring in third-party consultants. They've created a bug bounty program to help find any other bugs and features in the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not put your most confidential pieces of information, you know, in those chats. And in terms of recordings, you can record both on the cloud. So it will record to a Zoom account
mm-hmm.
or to your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like everything else, just your computer's not perfect. And you want to be mindful of what it is you're recording. And if someone was to find it, what would happen if they did? You know, think about the end result. If someone found this, is that okay? Or is that going to be, you know, a problem if that happened? So, and when you do that, I think you'll kind of use best judgment. We were joking, is one thing to think about is make sure your Amazon Alexa and your Siri are not necessarily on, because they too can be recording and paying attention and waking based on what you're saying.
Yeah. Before we got on the show here, I was sharing a story with you where I was having a call with a client, and they asked me, which was a great question, do you have Alexa going on in the background? And I don't have Alexa, so for that specific reason, but it was a great question, and that's probably a bigger security issue than what the ones we've been talking about, right?
Right. I mean, there's actually a lot of things to think about. So we also do not have an Alexa in our house, and nor do I really use Siri. And I also shared with you, I was on a conference co-presenting and my co-presenter's Apple Watch went off. So true story, folks, Siri is always listening. But the other things you want to think about is, where are you working? And do you have security cameras on in your house? You know, is the security camera focused on you? Is it picking up what you're talking about? What about your kids? Do they have Alexas and Siris? And so you kind of have to think about all of the smart devices that might be picking up on this type of information and other recordings. So not to diminish the specific Zoom conversation, but there are all these other areas that I think people forget. Oh, right. I forgot about that camera that's right over here and can hear everything that I'm saying all day long. And so where's that camera getting, you know, where is it recording and who's listening to that and those types of things? So while we think our home is private, we have to make sure we are responsible for keeping it that way.
Well, and again, I sound like a shameless promoter, and that's okay because it's a great episode. So back to Decision Vision, episode 57, part of what the conversation revolved around there with host Mike Blake there was just the security of the home Wi-Fi. That's where a lot of this starts, right? I mean, and you talked about that there.
It does, because, you know, just like bad actors are trying to come and bomb Zoom, because why not? If I'm a bad actor, where am I going to go? I'm going to go where all the people are. Wow, everyone's on Zoom. Thanks. You just made my job so much easier. Let's go find all the meetings that are going to be really easy for me to penetrate. And I'm going to go.
Right.
So a bad actor is realizing, well, wow, look at all these people at home around the globe. This is a treasure trove for me. Who should I go to? And if you make it really hard for them, just like the sign, you're a bad house. I'm going to skip you and go to the other house over here who did nothing, or, you know, put their home address is their password, right? Or whatever it might be. So trying to make it harder is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And make sure you at least A, have a password, and that the password is not password, or the one that came with the router when you open the box. Pick something more complicated. Like a phrase is a really great suggestion. Long right. phrase.
Right. As opposed to password.
Yes. Don't pick passwords. Don't pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I could see you pulling your hair out on that one. But well, Jody, this has been great. And this is a lot of great information for folks that are new to Zoom, or maybe just need a refresher. They've been on it for a while and need a refresher on some of the safeguards they need to be taking. So I want to, you've shared a lot of information with us. I want you to share for folks out there that may need your services. Talk about who you work with, the kind of clients you work with.
Sure. So my core focus are small and medium-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. Certainly have some outliers with some startups and some big, huge companies. But the core is trying to help the small and medium-sized company who generally doesn't have a privacy person on staff. This is not their main focus. They have everything else, but they know they need to pay attention to it. And so we come in and help fill that particular gap.
Awesome. So you're a fractional chief privacy officer.
I am.
Wow.
I am. So, I mean, we'll do project work, you know, very, very specific project-like work. Mm-hmm. But then we'll also maintain on sort of like a fractional privacy officer type situation.
Awesome. So part of it is just let's have a conversation and see what the needs are, I guess, right?
Oh, and every company is different. So mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I might have some core services, sure. but every company is different. So company one might, and there's also not a dollar threshold, because I've worked with some big dollar companies. There could be a $1 billion company mm-hmm. that just doesn't have as much exciting information as a $25 million company. Mm. It's really all around personal data in this particular world of what you need to be thinking about and what's relevant to you. So it's all very custom work that makes sense for what each business needs.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And for those that would like more information, would like to get in touch with you, why don't you share how they can do that?
Sure. So first, email's easy. It's just Jody, J-O-D-I, at redcloveradvisors.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, so company name, Red Clover Advisors, and me personally, Jody Daniels. And then our website is just redcloveradvisors.com.
Awesome. Jody, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I hope that this information is helpful and we have less Zoom bombers.
Amen to that. Thanks again. Folks, just a reminder, you can find this show on any of the major podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. I have yet to be stumped on my challenge that you cannot find us on your favorite podcast app, but try it and see. But we're out there. We're also online at northfultonbusinessradio.com. Check out our archive of now going up on 200 and something shows. We are the voice of business in North Fulton. So check us out there. And we've got a number of business leaders like Jody, who we featured over these past 4 years, and a lot of great information out there. Find us on social media at North Fulton BRX on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Follow us there as well. We appreciate that. For my guest, Jody Daniels, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.